Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back. We will return to Galatians 4, verse 4 momentarily. This weekend, I was reading the Puritan author John Owen. Owen lived from 1616 to 1683 and was a profound writer, preacher, and academic. In the 1640s, he was also chaplain to Oliver Cromwell, a name you will recognize if you know the history of England. In 1651, John Owen was named Dean of Christ Church, which was the largest college at Oxford. And in 1652, he was also named Vice Chancellor of Oxford University. What I find so compelling about him and his writing is his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oxford and other universities like it suffer spiritual rot because we do not have men of his caliber leading them today. Anyway, in his discourse with the title, Several Practical Cases of Conscience Resolved, a collection of writings on conscience, he says this, "We have very much lost out of our faith and our affections, him who is the life and center, the glory and the power of all spiritual life and of all we have to do with God, Jesus Christ himself." And then he adds this, "Study Christ more." Study Christ more. John Owen is right. Dear friends, as we gather to begin this new week, as we embrace the joy that is Christmas, the coming of our Lord into the world, let us fix our whole being on him. Let us stir up our affections, our love for Jesus, and study Christ more. What is missing for so many Christians today is that Christ is not the life and center, the glory and the power of all spiritual life. I think this passage, Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, can motivate us to again bring our affections, our love, back to Jesus as we continue to learn that God sent forth his Son. I hope that you will be very open to what God wants to do in your life as a result of this ancient yet very applicable text, Galatians 4, 4 and 5. A reminder that last week we talked about the deity of Christ. When we read that God sent forth his Son, we must always remember that Christ left heaven bound for earth as God in human flesh. He became a man, and he continued to be God. Jesus did not lose his deity in his humanity. We have established this fact in the Bible. And then on Friday, we turned to the humanity of Christ, and we said that Jesus humbled himself to be subordinate to God the Father while Christ lived as a man here on earth. We ask this question, how is it that Jesus maintained his deity, yet lived the full expression of his human life? And we uncovered this word in the biblical text, kenosis. Do you remember this? Are you with me thus far? Kenosis. We get this word from the Greek word kanao, which is found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, when the verse says Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men. Importantly, this word, while meaning to empty, does not mean emptying in the sense we usually mean to empty or emptying. Rather, it means to make void, to nullify, or to make of no effect. We will look more closely at this now. When I speak of kenosis as descriptive of what Jesus Christ did in becoming truly man, I am not speaking of being in favor with what is kenotic theology. I disagree with kenotic theology, and here is why. That view says that when Christ came to earth as a man, he emptied himself of some aspect of his deity. But that is not true. It was not that Christ emptied himself of, say, his omniscience. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing, and Jesus maintained his omniscience even as a man. So he did not empty himself of any aspect of his deity. Listen to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4, speaking of Jesus being God and therefore being omniscient. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4 says, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why are you thinking evil in your hearts?'" Jesus read the minds of the scribes. He knew exactly what they were thinking. Only God can do that. And Jesus did that as a man. So to be clear, I disagree with someone who adheres to kenotic theology if that is what they mean by kenosis. Jesus did not empty himself of his deity in that sense. Remember when Thomas, who doubted, finally met the resurrected Christ, and Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord and my God!" John 20, verse 28. Thomas worshiped Jesus as God because Jesus is God. And he never once, for even one second, set aside his deity in his humanity. So if, as we discuss what kenosis means, we do not mean that, well then, what do we mean? Well, for this, I want to bring in some trusted voices. These are theologians that have a proper understanding of kenosis, as the Apostle Paul writes of it in Philippians. And we will begin with a very straightforward statement by Paul Enns. In the Moody Handbook of Theology, Dr. Enns, spelled E-N-N-S, says this, quote, "The emptying of Christ was not the setting aside of his deity, but the humiliation of taking on human form and nature to fulfill the service of God. Christ took to himself an additional nature. The emptying was not a subtraction, but an addition." John MacArthur and Mike Riccardi agree with Enns, and they write, quote, "Christ emptied himself not by pouring out portions of his deity, but by adding to himself full and true humanity. Christ was an emptying by addition, not subtraction." These two ways, in agreement with one another, of defining what we mean by kenosis are very good. Remember, kenosis does not mean emptying by pouring out, but rather to make void, to nullify, or to make of no effect. Jesus emptied himself, yes. He nullified himself. In the words of Philippians 2, Christ made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant, a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. MacArthur and Mayhew again, quote, "While the Son of God fully possessed his divine nature, attributes, and prerogatives, he did not fully express them. They were veiled," unquote. At any second, Jesus had the right to use his divinity in his ministry, and sometimes he did. And yet, often he did not fully express his divine attributes. He veiled them within himself. Friends, in this sense, we connect Christ to the kenosis. He made void, he nullified, or he made of no effect his deity, but all of his deity was still there, indwelling in the person of the Christ. I want to quote one more theologian, but first let's circle back to Paul Enns. In a very helpful way, he outlines Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8 to define kenosis. I will read Philippians 2, 7 and 8 and quote Dr. Enns. I'm at Philippians 2, beginning in verse 7. "But Christ emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Paul ends, says the following four phrases explain the emptying. First, taking the form of a bond servant. Second, being made in the likeness of men. Third, being found in appearance as a man. Fourth, Christ humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. This is the kenosis. This is what Christ did when God sent him forth into this world. Kenosis is an emptying by addition, not subtraction. And now hopefully you understand the difference between what we usually mean by emptying and what the Greek word kanao, from which we get kenosis, actually means. We are finding in the Bible that Jesus humbled himself to be subordinate to God the Father while Christ lived as a man here on earth. Listen to what theologian Louis Burkhoff writes in his masterful Systematic Theology. I am quoting Burkhoff now. The fact that Christ took the form of a servant does not involve a laying aside of the form of God. There was no exchange of the one for the other. Now, what does his becoming a servant involve? A state of subjection in which one is called upon to render obedience. And the opposite of this state is a state of sovereignty in which one has the right to command. End quote. This is me now. Burkhoff is correct, as usual. You see, Jesus is God, so he is sovereign with the right to command. And Jesus is man, so he became a servant and was called upon to render obedience to God the Father. This is why I say Jesus humbled himself to be subordinate to God the Father while Christ lived as a man here on earth. More about this tomorrow on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.